live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Welcome to the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, Anna Kasparian with you guys. Today's going to be a strong show. Now, every show is strong here at Young Turks, you know that. Some are a little too strong, you know that as well. But today we've got big ups, big downs. Big show forward.
All right, well, we start with a story featuring a progressive win. Progressives in the House have blocked a $1 billion funding provision for Israel's Iron Dome. This was meant to be part of the stopgap bill that is meant to keep the government funded through December 3rd. It's unclear how the $1 billion provision for Israel was included in that. Typically, that type of provision is included in the National Defense Authorization Act. But in this case, progressives stood their ground and they said, no, we are not gonna vote in favor of this legislation unless it is stripped of the provision offering additional funding to Israel for its Iron Dome. Ryan Nobles tweeted that a little bit of drama with the Dem passage of the CR/debt ceiling in the House. A group of progressives had told leadership they will not vote if the bill or for the bill if it includes a $1 billion provision in funding for Israel's Iron Dome. The flap has led to Rules Committee to go into recess. At that point, Pramila Jayapal, who is the head of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, had a lengthy meeting with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And how did that meeting end? Well, the Iron Dome funding has been removed from the CR/debt limit bill. Now, for those who are concerned about continuing the funds for Israel, just note that it is likely that the amount of money will be approved in the defense spending bill in 2022, as is always the case with the National Defense Authorization Act. Representative Josh Gottheimer, a leading centrist in the Democratic Party, expressed frustration that the Iron Dome funding was being removed, but stopped short of threatening to vote against the bill. Also, a spokesperson for the House Appropriations Committee, Chairwoman Rosa DeLauro, said that funding for the Iron Dome will be included in the final bipartisan and bicameral defense funding bill later this year. And I just want to note that progressives have a lot less leverage when it comes to the defense spending bill, because that is one piece of legislation that has overwhelming bipartisan support. In this case, Nancy Pelosi could not lose the progressive votes necessary to pass the stopgap legislation, because of course Republicans are gonna vote against it. In a defense spending bill where of course Republicans overwhelmingly support it, progressives are gonna have less leverage. So it would be certainly unlikely that they would be able to block that spending in the Defense Authorization Act.
Okay, so I want to get to the substance of Iron Dome in a second, but first I want to go to DC assumptions. So how did the media and politicians react to the progressives having real power for the first time, literally in my lifetime? Not well. Here's a tweet from Heather Cagle with Politico. She writes, the votes aren't there, one senior Dem told me. There's now some finger pointing going on about whose fault this was. Now look at the assumption built into that reporter's tweet. Progressives won, so there must have been something terribly wrong, and people are trying to figure out whose fault is it. Now, progressives standing up and saying, hey, maybe we shouldn't give endless money to Israel's military in particular, as they do an illegal occupation of Palestine, decade after decade against international law and human decency. And Washington reacts to that with, oh my God, something went wrong. Somebody was being humane and actually cared about policy. And so we gotta figure out who's at fault here. Okay, so now if you're saying, hey, look, Iron Dome protects civilians, I've said on the show tons of times, I'm thrilled that Israel has Iron Dome. I want their civilians protected. They're our brothers and sisters. Now, I'm gonna say something revolutionary that would never be considered in Washington. I think the Palestinians should also have Iron Dome. And that's when, of course, everybody in Washington go, but then how would we murder them? Well, I don't want you to murder them. I don't want anybody killing Israeli civilians. I also don't want anybody killing Palestinian civilians. And yes, if you don't live in America, that is considered a radical and revolutionary thought here. If I worked at a mainstream media outlet, I would likely be fired for saying that.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
So now, this particular funding for Iron Dome, we've already given billions upon billions upon billions of dollars to Iron Dome. I honestly don't know why we're giving another $1 billion. My guess is it ain't really going to Iron Dome, it's going towards the occupation.
So let's talk about that a little bit, because I think that's relevant context to this story, because of course you have conservatives in the Republican Party, and of course, conservatives in the Democratic Party with their minds exploding over this today, acting as if this is nothing more than an anti-Semitic gesture, that you know the United States should be protecting Israel at any and all costs, that we're abandoning our allies in Israel.
But the abandoning.
But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the amount of funding that's already been allocated to Israel in the form of military funding, it's really questionable why there needed to be a provision in this stopgap measure to provide additional funding to Israel. So for instance, in 2016, the Obama administration approved a $38 billion military aid package to Israel, okay? Also, if you take a look at this handy little chart that was put together by the Congressional Research Service and published by the BBC, US aid commitments to Israel have actually increased quite a bit. So we have commitments up until 2028, and you can see that it's in the tens of billions of dollars. I mean, it's been in the tens of billions of dollars since the 1990s, but the number has increased to close to $40 billion. As I mentioned, there's the $38 billion military aid package that was committed to by the Obama administration. Then you look at the amount of money that was allocated to Israel in the form of military spending or funding just last year during the pandemic. So of the $3.8 billion given to Israel in 2020, 50 million of that was used for missile defense. I'm sorry, 500 million of that was used for missile defense, including investments in Israel's Iron Dome and other systems which can intercept incoming rockets. So yeah, I mean, look, it is fascinating because Obama had a pretty shaky relationship with Benjamin Netanyahu when he was serving as prime minister in Israel. And part of the reason why was because Obama was willing to say once or twice that, hey, maybe you should stop building settlements. Maybe you should stop, you know, fueling the ongoing violence and tensions between Israelis and Palestinians. And Netanyahu was furious at those statements and continued to build the settlements, continued with the occupation. And so Obama went ahead and approved the funding anyway. It wasn't a problem.
No. Obama was all talk, no walk. He didn't actually do anything to Nick Netanyahu. Netanyahu is a despotic right-wing leader of Israel who continued the brutal occupation, launched several attacks against the Palestinians that killed thousands of civilians in mass. Tons of children were killed in those attacks. And Obama gave Netanyahu everything he wanted. But every once in a while he would say, pretty please, can you stop the settlements? And Netanyahu would say, no, shut up. And he would go and speak in front of the House or in Congress, and they would all give him a standing ovation, including Democrats, in a contravention of what Obama theoretically wanted. So the only thing Obama did that Netanyahu was not in favor of was that he did a deal with Iran. And Netanyahu was like, why do I have to ask you twice? I already ordered you to attack Iran. Why aren't you attacking Iran? Now, good news, America not controlled by Israel, because we did not attack Iran, okay? So keep it real on what is actually happening, both the corruption in politics and the things that it leads to, like the enormous aid package to Israel, but also the limits of that. Don't get into any conspiracy theories or nonsense. So now let's look at the numbers one last time. $38 billion. Did you run out of it? Why do you need another billion? So you said a $500 million of the $3.8 billion from last year went to Iron Dome. So why don't you use another $500 million? We already gave you $3.8 billion last year. Why do you need another $1 billion? And if you're gonna get $1 billion, can we give the Palestinians $1 billion as well? Again, that's where Washington would go, this guy's crazy. Of course we're not gonna give Palestinians money, they're Muslims. Oh no, I said it out loud. Okay, now they won't add that last part. They never explain though why the Palestinians are subhuman and should be treated 100% differently than the Israelis. They just fall back on nonsense talking points like Israel is the only democracy in the region. It doesn't mean anything. First of all, what do you mean the region? Turkey's a democracy. Second of all, it's not really a democracy if you're occupying several million people and giving them no rights whatsoever. That's not at all a democracy. In fact, that's racism. That's saying democracy for me, but not democracy for you. That's just a fact. If it makes people uncomfortable, they should really look at themselves in the mirror and figure out what's wrong with them. And by the way, Josh Gottheimer is in no way a moderate. He's an absolute right-wing Democrat. But the press, in order to do them a favor, a public relations favor, calls deeply right-wing Democrats moderates to make them look good. And finally, look, there's a lot of you guys celebrating in our member section, and you should be. So Tina wrote in, woohoo, the squad strikes again. The corporate Dems effed around and found out. Little Mac McChee says, is today going to be a too strong show for the establishment? Does being a TYT member make us heroes that are too strong? I guess, he says jokingly. But seriously guys, the reason I read that is because you are heroes. So if you volunteered or you gave a small dollar donation or you voted for any of these progressives, these Justice Democrats that we asked you to support and to believe in and to have faith in, well, it was not a perfect road at all. A lot of them lost, but enough of them won. And even after they won, it was not a perfect road. But here we are.
Yeah.
They're exercising real power for the first time in my life. And yes, you guys did that. You weren't alone, but you were important. And so if you were involved in helping these folks get to where they are, thank you for bringing a tiny bit of sanity to Washington. As Anna explained, it'll probably get washed away in the tide in this particular case.
Yeah, because they'll bring it back. Bipartisan nature of the defense spending bill, unfortunately.
You're right. And right now, of course, the corporate media is all screaming at Democrats.
Right.
What's wrong with you? You are not following directions. Get back to the right wing. Get back to the right wing, right?
Right.
They're the same media who will then later turn around and say, hey, can we help the average American maybe get rid of student debt? They'll say, how are you gonna pay for that? We gave it to Israel already. And other wealthy allies. Turkey, for example, where I'm from originally, is a top 20 economy. Why do we give them any money? Israel is a perfectly wealthy ally. Why do we give them $38 billion? I understand why we would give it to Nicaragua or Honduras, et cetera, so we stop immigration. That helps us, that helps them. It's a Marshall Plan, et cetera. But for countries that are already perfectly wealthy and can defend themselves and have more weapons than all of their neighbors combined, it makes no sense for us to subsidize it, except for the corporate media and the corporate politicians that support it.
All right, well, we've got some more international news. Well, I guess some immigration related news. I wouldn't call it international, but it does have an international angle. Anyway, let's get right to it. Next story.
Questions tonight about this video appearing to show Border Patrol agents confronting refugees aggressively on the Rio Grande.
I don't think anyone seeing that footage would think it was acceptable or appropriate.
The conditions under the international bridge in Del Rio, Texas, a border town 150 miles west of San Antonio, also raising eyebrows.
Reporting and shocking images and video from Al Jazeera shows that Border Patrol's abusive treatment toward Haitians continues at the southern border. Now, thousands of them have come to the border in recent weeks seeking asylum in the United States, but the Biden administration continues to conduct mass deportations without giving asylum seekers a fair hearing or even a shot to apply for asylum. I'll get to those details in just a second, but But it is important to see the type of treatment asylum seekers are dealing with at the border at the hands of Border Patrol agents on horseback. This is a look at the Al Jazeera piece that I was speaking about.
This is how one US Border Patrol officer received Haitian migrants crossing the Rio Grande, coming back with food to a camp they've set up in Texas.
Hey, you use your women? Is this why your country because you use your women for this? You go, no, that way. No, 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 no.
We've got our families inside, dying of hunger. We've had to go out to buy food.
You can see the tense scenes here. The Border Patrol are trying to stop people getting back into the camp after they went across to Mexico to get food, they say, because there isn't enough food for them actually there in the camp.
There's more than 12,000 migrants, mostly Haitians, in the camp that sprung up in Del Rio, Texas, over the last 2 weeks.
And despite the video that you just watched, despite the horrible treatment that these Haitian migrants are dealing with at the border, the Biden administration is following through with its mass deportations. The Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas says that there will be an investigation into the treatment of Haitian migrants at the border. I'll get to his statement in just a second, but before I do so, Cenk, do you want to jump in?
Yeah. So some of the still pictures look like they're using the reins either to corral the immigrants or even whip the immigrants. And so when you see Americans on horseback whipping or corralling, honestly, black folks, it's
sick.
Very, very disturbing images and something that we thought we had at least hoped that we were past. And it's interesting that that comes out when it's black immigrants. I mean, we were treating brown immigrants bad enough. But the minute you see black immigrants at the border, here we are back again at similar images that we've seen in American history far, far too often. And you know, so the Biden administration keeps talking about, no, you know, we've got this great culture, and this is unacceptable to us, and our great people at the border would never do that. Well, number one, they did. Number two, what do you mean you have and they're great? They're the same guys that were under Trump. It's not like you fired all the border agents and hired all new ones.
No.
They're the same exact guys. And you think in under a year since you've come in, they've all become bleeding heart progressives?
No.
No, they're the same guys.
It's the same policies as well. Look, we give Biden credit when credit is due, or where credit is due. This is not a situation in which credit is due, because not only are the same people employed carrying out this type of brutality against asylum seekers, the same policies are being implemented by the Biden administration in regard to immigration. So when we talk about Biden and how he campaigned against Donald Trump, he like really wanted to differentiate himself as being like this kind person, this person who would be a kind leader, who would treat migrants at the border in a humane way. Like, he made it seem like he would be incredibly different from Donald Trump, especially on the issue of immigration, and that has not been the case. It has not been the case. Despite what Republicans would have you believe, Biden is carrying out the same policies that we saw during the Trump administration. I'll get to those specific examples in just a second. But before I do so, the Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, as I mentioned earlier, says this is unacceptable. We're launching an investigation into this. Here he is speaking to CNN about the videos and images that have gone viral of the treatment of Haitian migrants at the border.
You've seen this video, you are investigating. But is there any reason why border agents would be charging at migrants in such a way that you are seeing children ducking out of the way?
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me. Any mistreatment or abuse of a migrant is unacceptable, is against Border Patrol policy, training, and our department's values. Indeed, we have directed an investigation. That investigation is underway and it will be conducted swiftly, and the public needs and deserves to know its results. I also have directed that the Office of Professional Responsibility be on site in Del Rio full time. We will not tolerate any mistreatment of an individual.
So abuse and mistreatment not tolerated, is that abuse or mistreatment where you see children ducking out of the way, horses charging migrants, reins being used?
We are very troubled by what we have seen. We are going to let the investigation unfold very, very quickly, determine the facts, and then we will take the action that is appropriate based on those facts. The facts will drive the conduct that we employ to hold anyone accountable for a violation of our policies.
So look, I show you that statement to be fair and give you their side, the Biden administration side of the story, but that was BS. It was just complete BS. This unwillingness to accept the fact that the United States utilizes brutality at the border, turns away asylum seekers, no questions asked, no hearing, no day in front of a judge. And that's exactly what Trump implemented. He claimed, look, it's a pandemic, so as a result, we're shutting down the border, we're not accepting any asylum seekers. But understand that the United States has a responsibility, especially to migrants coming from countries that were essentially messed with by our government. I mean, there was a 19-year US occupation in Haiti due to business interests in the United States. Okay, the United States didn't like that Germany was doing some business with Haiti at the time, and they decided, no, you know what, we're gonna do an occupation. We're gonna, Woodrow Wilson decided that he was gonna go ahead and invade the country, and the ramifications of that have been long lasting. And the United States continues to just completely, control that country. It just suffered another massive earthquake. It just suffered from its president getting assassinated. I mean, it's a situation that's incredibly unstable for people living there, but hey, we don't have any responsibility to them. In fact, why don't we meet them with brutality at our border as they're seeking asylum in the United States?
So look, I don't know if we'll ever have a real media in America, but if we did, you would all already know how we've brutalized Central America, Haiti, and all of these other countries for the profits of our corporations, not even the American citizens. And it's one thing when you steal their resources for your own citizens, that's already terrible enough. But we didn't even do that. We did it for only the elites, for the corporations. The reason they're called banana republics in the Central America is because we did a coup in order to get prices that were lower on bananas. They said, hey, it's our natural resources, our bananas, and we want to sell it to you for a couple of pennies more. And we killed people and replaced their government because of that. And by the way, in the meanwhile, destroyed their economies. So now that's coming back on us as immigrants say, well, these in tough times, these economies are in tatters and we're trying to find a hopeful place like America where you guys are doing better economically. And now we say, oh, it's your fault. And then we start swinging, reins at him. Again, that guy looked like he was either trying to intimidate them or actually maybe hit them and whip them. And so, now, when you look at Biden politically, this is an epic debacle. Why? Because he's not gaining support from either side.
No.
So he's continuing Trump's brutal policies. And it's not an accident that you're seeing those pictures and those images from the border because he never told them to stand down. I don't mean stand down as in let everybody in. I mean stand down as in, oh, you're not supposed to brutalize the folks that are migrants anymore. Because they're used to brutalizing them. And Biden never told them to not brutalize them. So they're doing exactly what they're doing. Biden thinks, oh, that'll help me win over right-wing voters. Because he's stuck in cement in 1991 in a best case scenario. And thinks, oh, bipartisanship and kissing Republican ass will get me more voters. No, it won't. You'll never get a single Republican voter. They're all listening to Fox News and conservative radio that says that you're letting them all in on purpose and you're making them citizens instantly. They're lying about you nonstop, you schmuck.
Yeah, the right wing thinks that Biden isn't being brutal enough to migrants at the border. We have a process in place to process asylum seekers. The Trump administration ended that process and claimed that it did so because of the pandemic, as if the Trump administration ever took the pandemic seriously. And the fact that Biden is continuing with that policy, and the fact that White House officials are repeating the necessity for that policy, tells you everything you need to know. They're trying to straddle this issue. They're trying to appeal to both sides, and they're losing both sides because, as Cenk mentioned, conservatives have no interest in giving the Biden administration any credit for anything. And for those on the left who want to treat migrants in a humane way and allow them to go through the asylum process, this is horrific. It's disgusting and it's unacceptable.
And so Iowa is a critical state because of the primaries, but it used to be a swing state. Obama won it several times. And so, and in the beginning of Biden's term in March, he was net positive in Iowa. A poll came out today. It's now 31% approval, 62% disapproval for Joe Biden in Iowa. Okay, oh my God, he lost like nearly 20 points. What happened? Well, this is a phenomenon that's important for you to understand. Mainstream media generally supports corporate Democrats, okay? So that's true, they give an advantage to establishment Democrats over Republicans, okay? But here's a phenomenon in media that nobody talks about. Now, when you have a Republican president, even if mainstream media is against it, which they normally aren't under the Bush era, et cetera, but on Trump they were. Well, you get to a stalemate because conservative media backs him 100%, and then mainstream media will say, well, actually, that's a lie, et cetera, right? And that's your best case scenario. But under a Democratic president, conservative media is going to criticize the Democratic president, right or wrong, doesn't matter, on every issue 100% of the time. And you're seeing it play out. When mainstream media then also joins in, well, then it makes it appear the Democratic president is deeply unpopular. And so he'll lose 20 points because there's no one to support him. And so how should Biden react to that? Pick a goddamn side. And here's my suggestion, pick your own side.
Yeah.
So you're never gonna get those Republican votes. Any schmuck who tells you that in DC is probably a consultant ripping you off and making tons of money, having you spend ads and all that stuff to try to get Republican voters that are never gonna come over. Instead, do what's right, get rid of the Trump rules, have a real humane policy, push forward on immigration reform, and you might actually win over your own side and not have a 31% approval rating in Iowa because you've lost everyone.
All right, we actually have more on this story when we come back from the break. The reaction from conservatives who think that the Biden administration just isn't brutal enough to migrants at the border. Come back, we'll tell you who they are, what they're saying, and how they're wrong.
All right, back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. So much more news, go ahead, Anna.
Since the Biden administration is just as brutal toward migrants as the Trump administration, people like Representative Jim Jordan are essentially forced to lie to the American people about the lack of brutality by the Biden administration. Now, this has to do with the treatment of migrants at the border, in this case, Haitian migrants who were seen in images and video footage being mistreated by Border Patrol agents on horseback. They used the reins to essentially violently control thousands of Haitian migrants as they were at the border. And so, as I think most reasonable people saw those images and were disgusted by the treatment toward Haitian migrants, then you have people like Jim Jordan who'll have you believe that the Biden administration just has this open border policy and just lets anyone in. Let's watch.
Is this administration ignoring the crisis at the border? You were listening to Jen Psaki speaking from the White House briefing room a moment ago. Your reaction?
No, obviously they're ignoring it. What, we got 13,000 Haitians there in Del Rio, Texas. Obviously they're ignoring it. But I find it interesting, at the time when we have that, what does the Biden administration announce today? They announced that, oh, for people who come here legally, foreign nationals, you're going to have to be vaccinated. And what is the Democrat Congress focused on doing? Trying to give amnesty to 8 million people who came here illegally. The American people are fed up with this. They'd like some leadership from the White House, from President Biden, from Vice President Harris. But they're certainly not seeing it. And it's because the White House is not willing to embrace the policies that work. A full implementation of Title 42, as Mr. Wolf was talking about, building the wall, going back to the Remain in Mexico policy, those policies that work, the White House won't embrace it because the hard left won't let them.
that was just full of complete and utter lies. The Biden administration is in fact implementing Title 42, which closes the borders and denies entry to asylum seekers, citing the pandemic as the reason for doing so. Also, as the New York Times reported, even as it faces searing criticism from human rights groups and opposition from some Democratic lawmakers, the Biden administration is pushing forward with a strategy meant to relieve the overflow in Del Rio and deter more Haitians from trying to come to the United States. So how are they doing that? Mass deportations. There are currently 4 flights a day conducting mass deportations of Haitian migrants. And to say that that's not brutal enough is ridiculous. And you know, maybe that reporting from the New York Times isn't enough for people like Jim Jordan and other conservatives who continue to lie about what the Biden administration is really doing. So why don't we go to this mashup of White House officials making it abundantly clear that migrants are not welcome in the United States.
We have reiterated that our borders are not open and people should not make the dangerous journey. Individuals and families are subject to border restrictions, including expulsion. Irregular migration poses a significant threat to the health and welfare of border communities and to the lives of the migrants themselves, and should not be attempted.
I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come.
Why not allow them to come into the country?
So let me take both those questions, Jim. First of all, we're working very closely with the government of Haiti to ensure that the individual's return is effected, is accomplished as safely and humanely as possible.
We also have to implement our laws at the border. We also want to protect people, both in that community, but also migrants. One of the challenges, as we're all facing a pandemic here, is the gathering of so many people. We're still implementing Title 42, which means that we are going to send people out of the country who come in as we implement that.
And they are in fact implementing Title 42 to the point where a federal judge, Jenk, had to step in and say, hey, this doesn't apply to unaccompanied minors at the border. You can't just send them back as they're unaccompanied.
Yeah, so today's big news at the border was the picture of these border agents on horseback trying to herd and seemingly whip using the reins of the horse, these Haitian immigrants. And Jim Jordan went on TV to say it's not brutal enough. That's the current Republican Party.
Yep.
And then he did a string of lies, of course not challenged, about how what Biden's policies were. Biden's policies are nearly identical to Trump's. That's why we on the left are criticizing Biden. And that's why human rights groups have criticized them, progressive legislators have criticized them, and pretty harshly. And today a lot of people are criticizing him for the pictures of what the Border Patrol agents are doing. And the Republicans go, nope, Trump wanted to build a wall, make it electric so if they touched it, they died. He wanted to build a moat, put, I'm not kidding, this is a real proposal leaked by insiders in the Trump White House. Put alligators and snakes at the border and shoot the immigrants, but in their legs, so they didn't necessarily die, although how they're gonna get treatment there is a different question. So that's why it's not surprising that Jim Jordan would go, just whipping the immigrants, but you're not looking to murder them. No, Biden's too lenient on immigrants. By the way, international law that we used to follow is that when people come seeking asylum, you have to give them a hearing. You have to accept them into the country, give them a hearing. It doesn't mean they have to stay. And oftentimes, the great majority of times, we do send them back after the hearing. But now Biden is saying, like Trump, I don't want no stinking hearings. Right. I'm gonna use COVID as an excuse to get rid of them all. They're still coming, why? Because America seems lovely to immigrants at the border? No, we're terrible to immigrants at the border. They're coming because they're in absolutely desperate straits. And they're so desperate for a little bit of hope for their families. And they have in some ways made the mistake of believing that that hope resides in America. And we're literally beating it out of them. And the Republicans say, not enough. And now I gotta give one word here to one of our members. Imploded Brainy made a very good point. Jim Jordan, they said, is an expert at ignoring things. That's very true. Of course, he ignored sexual molestation when he was a coach, and he still ignores it to this day. All those different people came out and say, I was sexually molested, and Jim Jordan knew about it. He ignored it because he doesn't like facts, and he doesn't want to protect kids, and he doesn't care about any of you. He just cares about raw power.
And he's just a giant liar. It's not just that he ignores things. He brushes things under the rug when it's inconvenient for him. And he just flat out lies when it's politically convenient for him to do so or advantageous for him to do so. And of course, during the interview, he can't let it pass by without sprinkling in a little of the replacement theory garbage that you see from right wingers, essentially a racist dog whistle, where he claims that the Biden administration is intentionally doing this open border policy. Maybe it's to replace white people. I don't know. Watch what he had to say.
Well, we just heard from Secretary Mayorkas saying, don't come here, don't make the dangerous journey now. That seems to be the message they're trying to put out there. You're making the case that they're ignoring pictures like the ones that we are seeing on your screen right now, Del Rio, Texas. Yeah. If that's the case, what's it going to take for them to get in there and turn this situation around?
You got to go back to the policies that worked. I mean, they don't have to call it President Trump's policy. Just go back to the policies that work. That's how you deal with this. You have to send a message from the White House, from the Oval Office, that you're serious about having. I mean, understand how bad it is, too. We see all the pictures, but remember, illegal crossings in March were the highest on record until the month of April. Then April was the highest month until the month of May. And then May was the highest month until June. And then June was the highest month until July, when 212,000 illegal encounters on our southern border. And August dipped just a little bit to 208,000. So this is the only conclusion any rational person can reach is this is deliberate. This is intentional. This is exactly what Hillary Clinton campaigned on in 2016 when she talked about a borderless hemisphere. So let's hope they change their mind and do the right thing. But I'm not holding my breath.
Well, we certainly don't have any indication it's deliberate.
Yeah, rare fact check by that Fox anchor. We have no indication that it's deliberate. And I don't know where Jim Jordan got his numbers from, but he, of course, would hide the fact that the Biden administration is currently doing mass deportations of Haitian migrants at the border, including 14,000 migrants that they plan on deporting over the next 3 weeks.
So just so you know, the bill that they've been contemplating now for feels like over a decade, to do immigration reform would be very stringent standards. And they would have to never break any laws, continue to work here at, by the way, awful wages for 14 years before they can get citizenship, okay? By the way, that's twice as long as indentured servitude at the beginning of this country. So the idea that Biden is letting them in so they can immediately become citizens and vote for Biden, it's not just absurd, it's just a flat out lie. That is not at all the proposal. It's for immigrants that are already here, and it's 14 years from now in a best case scenario, let alone the fact that the replacement theory is just flat out racist. Replace what? Americans that are white, Latino, black, and Asian right now with others that are Latino, black, Asian, etc. By the way, also European immigrants.
Oh, those are okay.
Yeah. No, what they're worried about is you're replacing white voters with brown and black voters, which they know or they suspect or they worry are never gonna vote for Republicans because Republicans hate them. Here's a pro tip. You could try not hating them and trying to get their vote 14 years from now. Or you can keep lying and demagoguing on Fox News. My guess is I know which way you're gonna choose.
All right, when we come back from the break, we have an update on the Dominion lawsuit against Donald Trump's campaign lawyers. Seems like there's some evidence that, there was acknowledgement that the voter fraud claims were BS, but they continued to make them publicly. We've got that story and more when we come back.
Back on TYT, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I'm gonna read just one member comment here. Honorable Navinix wrote in, two parties in this country, one without a heart, the other without a spine. Unfortunately, that describes most of our stories. All right, thank you for being a member, Anna.
New reporting from the New York Times indicates that there's evidence for something we already knew. The Trump campaign already knew that the claims of election fraud were complete and utter nonsense, even as the campaign's lawyers, people like Sidney Powell and Giuliani, were doing press conferences repeating the lies of widespread voter fraud. Now, this is in regard to the ongoing defamation lawsuit that was filed by Dominion Voting Systems. Court papers, which were initially filed last week as a motion in the defamation lawsuit brought against the campaign and others by a former Dominion employee, Eric Coomer, contain evidence that officials in the Trump campaign were aware early on that many of the claims against the companies were baseless. So there was an internal memo that was ordered by the director of communication for the Trump campaign. And this memo looked into the claims of widespread voter fraud. What was contained in the memo? Well, that Dominion did not use voting technology from the software company Smartmatic in the 2020 election, that Dominion had no direct ties to Venezuela or Soros, and that there was no evidence that Dominion's leadership had connections to left-wing Antifa activists, as Sidney Powell and others had claimed. Now, despite the existence of this memo early on after the general election, there was that unhinged press conference featuring Powell and Rudy Giuliani. I want to give you a reminder of that right now.
The Dominion voting systems, the Smartmatic technology software, and the software that goes in other computerized voting systems here as well, not just Dominion, were created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez to make sure he never lost an election after one constitutional referendum came out the way he did not want it to come out. We have one very strong witness who has explained how it all works. He was with Hugo Chavez while he was being briefed on how it worked. He was with Hugo Chavez when he saw it operate to make sure the election came out his way. That was the express purpose for creating this software.
I mean, just completely unhinged. Now, at that point, the memo already existed. According to the lawsuit, the documents also suggest that the campaign sat on its findings about Dominion, even as Sidney Powell and other lawyers attacked the company in the conservative media and ultimately filed four federal lawsuits accusing it of a vast conspiracy to rig the election against Donald Trump. So I've got more details, including the likelihood of the memo actually getting to people like Giuliani and Sidney Powell. But before we get to that, Cenk.
So the memo was already written when she said those things.
Yep.
So they had a top Trump campaign person tell them these are all nonsense, total, utterly not true. And by the way, guys, like the reason Anna said in the beginning, things we already knew, but this just confirms it, is because anyone with two brain cells knows that Hugo Chavez, who died 7 years ago, didn't rig the election, the 2020 elections. If he died 7 years ago, how would he even know that Trump was going to be president? I mean, this is just so beyond absurd. But the minute the right wing says something, we wind up having a debate about it. And then, by the way, 40% of the country believes that. I mean, let's say that, okay, there's a 25% of Republicans that are not currently in an asylum. Call it 30% of the country, okay? 30% of the country sees that and goes, oh, obviously, Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, Dominion Systems, etc. Now there's a memo that says, even they knew for sure, and they chose to lie to you. My guess is right wingers will either never see that video because they don't watch regular news. They watch conservative news where they get fed nonstop lies, or they'll see it and since they're in a cult, they'll have cognitive dissonance and they'll go, no, it must not be true. It's fake news. Anything that doesn't make me feel good is fake news. So even though we basically have a smoking gun here, it won't work. 30% of the country has lost their minds. They won't believe it.
There's a concerted effort, and there's a reason why there's a concerted effort by conservatives to make education unattainable. There's a reason why during the 2016 Trump campaign, there was a concerted effort to make it as though being an educated American was somehow a bad thing. It made you an elitist. It made you a bad person. They prey on the ignorance of people in this country. And when I say ignorant, I don't mean it as an insult. You think most Americans get like a comprehensive lesson on Venezuela in school?
No, nobody.
No. Yeah. Do you think that the majority of people who fell for these election fraud lies even know who Hugo Chavez is? So we might know that Hugo Chavez has been dead for a while, but the people who are more inclined to believe the lies coming from people like Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani don't know. And I'm not saying that it's their fault that they don't know. My point is that they are being preyed on by these very individuals who very likely knew the truth about what was going on. Now, why do I say very likely? Well, as the New York Times reports, it is unclear whether Trump knew or saw the memo. Giuliani said in a deposition that he had not seen the memo before he gave his presentation in Washington, and he questioned the motives of those who had prepared it. By the way, those who prepared it were Trump campaign officials.
And senior ones.
Senior campaign officials, okay, including the director of communications for the Trump campaign.
But by the way, now he's seen it because now they're all denying it. Oh, fake news. The guy who wrote it is deep state, even though he worked for Trump and helped him deny the Biden victories and helped him communicate his lies and all that stuff. But it doesn't matter. Everybody's deep state, just to make it convenient. But now you know that your guys wrote the memo. Are you going to change your tune now? Nope. Trump's not going to change his tune. He's going to go back out tomorrow and say that the election was rigged and it was stolen and it was fraudulent and go, I lost, I didn't want to lose. He's such a little crybaby. I mean, on top of everything else, it turns out Republicans are the weakest people in the country.
Certainly the most sensitive.
They look at this pathetic, insecure, thin-skinned Donald Trump, obviously lying through his teeth, and they go, that's my leader because I'm so weak, he looks strong to me. Oh, that's pathetic.
And remember, there was a point after the 2020 election when the lawyers representing the Trump campaign decided to jump ship. They're like, this is not good. We're not doing this anymore. We're gone. At that point, Trump had already distanced himself from Sidney Powell because her statements were so incredibly unhinged. But once he had been abandoned by other campaign lawyers, he started considering bringing Sidney Powell back on. Like, the likelihood of Trump not knowing that the election fraud accusations were just lies is, in my opinion, unbelievable. But what is abundantly clear is that campaign officials, top level campaign officials, did in fact know that it was complete and utter BS, and they sat on that memo and didn't stop Sidney Powell or Rudy Giuliani or any of these other Trump goons from going out there and questioning our democratic process. So the Trump campaign continued to allow its agents, the motion says, to advance debunk conspiracy theories and defame Mr. Coomer, apparently without providing them with their own research debunking those theories. And by the way, just to give you additional context into this lawsuit, the release of the documents was only the latest legal trouble for Giuliani and Powell, both of whom have been sued directly by Dominion for defamation. Dominion has also brought a defamation suit against Mike Lindell, the chief executive of MyPillow, for amplifying false election claims. Last month, a federal judge in Washington ruled that the case could continue moving forward toward trial.
Okay, so I want you to understand the chain of events, by the way. So Trump is relying on Sidney Powell and she's saying, oh, I'm gonna release the Kraken. And Trump's saying, we got massive dumps of information and they're gonna be released and et cetera. And then Dominion says, hey, listen, you schmucks, you're gonna be in a lot of trouble, financial trouble, because you're obviously lying about us. Then there's an internal memo that says we're lying about them. So then Trump distances himself from Sidney Powell. Why? Because he's afraid of getting sued. And the minute money is involved, he's like, oh, no, Sidney Powell, who is she? I don't know who she is. Classic Trump, right? Then the real lawyers leave the building and understand how unbelievable that is. If you're representing the president of the United States on an election issue, that is career making case. So the ones that represented Bush and Gore still brag about it, are still celebrated all across town for, oh, that's the Bush lawyer, that's the Gore lawyer in 2000, right? These guys bail on Trump anyway. Why? Because he's says to them, why don't you just go in and lie? Why don't you just go and tell them that I won? They're like, yeah, but we need evidence. He's like, shut up, I thought you were a lawyer. Go in there and goddamn it, lie for me. And lawyers go, even though this would make my entire career, I would get disbarred. I can't do it. So they leave. So then Trump's like, well, who's an idiot who's not a real lawyer? They're like, well, Sidney Powell. He's like, great, bring her back. And that's how things went down. So does Trump know that he was lying? Of course he knows he was lying. And so at least there's now a memo, but it doesn't matter. There's no amount of information or evidence that would ever get 30% of the country to change their minds because they're in a cult.
All right, we got to take a break. That does it for our first hour. When we come back for our second hour, the victory lap that I've been taking in regard to Tulsi Gabbard and what a fraud she's been continues. I'm really looking forward to that segment. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.